You guys know I'm crazy about Audible because it offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Audible really is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment, with female writers and heroines, celebrity narration, multicast productions with immersive sound design, and traditional audiobooks. Audible has you covered for any type of excitement that you're looking for. In fact, right now I'm listening to The Second Husband by Kate White. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. That's audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. With four daughters and two on a dance team, I can tell you we go through a lot of mascara in my house. But I'm crazy about L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara, which catches every lash from corner to corner for maximum volume. If you're looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank, this is yours. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. I've been using it for about 2 weeks now, and I feel like my eye has completely opened up, and the girls are crazy about it too. They've got a tapered brush to catch every lash, one of the best mascara wands that I've ever used. And like I said, this luxe appearance of this gold package, you got to get it. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today. L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara. You're going to love it.
The amazing Kate Casey.
Welcome back to another episode of Reality Life with Kate Casey. I hope everybody's having a great week. I have been watching that show, the Elizabeth Smart autobiography, the one that she is narrating while an actress that looks remarkably like her portrays her. And there are a lot of commercials, so you have to withstand that. But I have to say, it's pretty compelling. The book about her abduction is also really great. And I think that they, used a lot of the same people for interviews, including her uncles. And it just breaks your heart, especially, you know, once you have kids, to see how it just ripped apart the family. And it's miraculous to me that the parents stayed married. And I would love the chance to talk to her at some point. What a remarkable person. So if you're looking for something to watch, add that to your queue. It's really good. And I also mentioned on my Reality Life with Kate Casey Facebook page, if you're looking for something to watch this weekend, watch that documentary on the Backstreet Boys. It's really, really interesting and heartbreaking, especially in light of all these sexual harassment stories, because you know that Lou Pearlman was a horrible person. And I'm going to just tell you, to if there's one scene that you should watch, it's when Nick Carter takes everyone back to his hometown, and he goes back to the school that he grew up going to in Florida. And his reaction when he saw the teachers who were the only ones that really took care of him. It's really, really heart-wrenching. So check that out. I just got out of my parent-teacher conference for my daughter, my third child, whom I lovingly refer to on Instagram as gives 30%. And it's because that's how much energy she puts into many things, and most of all her ballet classes. And the funny thing about these parent-teacher conferences is I have no idea how my kids are doing. And that's because every time I go into these meetings, all the teacher wants to talk to me about are celebrities. So it's lots of questions like, so really what's going on with Julia Roberts? Is she happily married? Or what can you tell me about the season of Dancing with the Stars? Do you think this person's going to stay on Real Housewives of Orange County? So I have no idea how my kids are doing, but I can tell you that their teachers really love television. What else is going on? This week's episode is really, really good. I spoke with Deandra Simmons from Real Housewives of Dallas again, and it was great because I went down to LA to interview her at a hotel. So she gives me some really great insight on what it's like to be a housewife once you sign that contract. And I wanted to know, do you start to freak out about how you're going to look on camera? Because this is an issue that like fascinates me. When you sign the contract, do you automatically think, I've got to lose weight, I've got to change up my wardrobe, how are people going to think of me? So she kind of gives you a window into that, and I think you're going to be really surprised by what she says. I asked Sarah Barney, who's a listener, to watch Fixer Upper on HGTV because she's an interior decorator. And then Benjamin Cohen, who's also a listener, to watch Millionaire Matchmaker, that Patty Stanger show. It's now on WETV. I believe it's been on almost 75 channels at this point. But it was a really strange episode because they wanted to set somebody up with Courtney Stodden, who is an absolute train wreck. She's the woman who was 16 when she got married to that actor on Lost. And she has an absurd breast enhancement, and she looks like somebody who is like a Zsa Zsa Gabor impersonator. And then some cage fighter named Shondo, who I've never seen before in my life, and he speaks in the third person, which is always a sign to me of somebody that probably has some mental problems. So it's really funny. So I want you to check out that. And then I wanted to say that this episode is for my friend Mark, my dear friend Mark Paul, who passed away on Sunday of cancer. He was a spectacular person. He was one of my first friends when I moved to Los Angeles in my 20s. I didn't know anybody, and my neighbor Judy Brown introduced me. She trained him to walk from one side of the Grand Canyon to the other. And we just became dear friends. He was like one of the most gorgeous guys you've ever seen in your life, the biggest smile. And when he became roommates with my friend Lisa, he let me look at his Match.com profile, which was horrendous. It was the worst profile I've ever read. He even said in the profile that he liked to take walks on the beach and like skip stones. And I told him that it was the worst thing I've ever read in my life. And we laughed for, I don't know, 20 minutes. And I have to say, I rewrote it for him. And a week later, he met Afua, his wife, and they got married and had two children. And when I went to the wedding reception, I said to him, listen, I don't mean to brag, but I am pretty much responsible for this relationship. So do you think that you could gift me with something like a silver platter or at the very least a boat? And he offered me a chicken skewer, which I thought, you know, could have been a little bit better, but, you know, you take or leave it. So, my friend passed away, and so this is just for him and to the memory of him. And for all of you who know someone who has cancer, or for those of you that are right now in treatment, or you're just sitting there getting chemo and you've been kind enough to listen to my show, just know that, you know, my heart goes to you and to everybody with a loved one with cancer. So here we go. All right, I'm here in a hotel room in West Hollywood with DeAndre Simmons, and it's so good to see you.
It's good to see you. We're having our little daytime pajama party, summer party.
And you've just handed me the L22 elixir.
Yes, I brought you a gift.
So tell me, when that came in, did you shit bricks? Were you like, thank God this
Pretty
came
much
in?
Because, you know, my mother, Mama D, she was not too happy with me because the one ingredient, which was the name of the product, was back ordered at the lab. And when I went over there and they told me that, I almost had a heart attack.
Yeah.
Because I was going to have to deliver the news to her. And, you know, the way I think, Kate, it's just better to be honest. Don't try to give somebody a story. And, you know, then you have to dance around that and remember what you said. So I just, yeah. I mean, the best thing with my mother is just be honest, get it on the table, deal with the wrath, and then let it go away. Because she's like me. She blows up for about 15 minutes, and then she's like, on to the next thing, you know?
I feel like I'm like that, too. Does she still have that weird television in her office?
The television has disappeared. It's
what?
So funny. I wonder if it went to the auction house. Maybe Sotheby's has it.
I feel like she probably watches VHS exercise videos in that. Did she ever turn that TV on?
No. I mean, I don't think it even works. We didn't even have cable in our old office.
Oh, my God.
We had VHS tapes, though.
Is she
the break room.
Is she the kind of person that just knows everybody? Like, I just picture her smoking a ciggy with Oprah.
She knows a lot of people. She's she's a cancer survivor, so she's not smoking a cigarette. But she does know a lot of people. She's one of those people that when she walks into a room, she will know everyone's name and have, you know, their children's name and what they do for a living memorized by the time she leaves. And I think that's a really great quality that my mother has.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about, this is what I wanted to know. Give people a little bit of mind about what it's like to be a housewife in terms of you're told, okay, you're going to be on the next season, you sign your contracts. Do you stress out about contacting your friends to give them an update? Do you worry about ex-boyfriends coming out of the closet once you're on the show in terms of like, you know, we were together, we were engaged, we had a bad breakup, like that kind of stuff coming out.
Yeah, that definitely concerned me because, you know, I've been married before. My ex-husband's wonderful, though. So he's, you know, yeah. And I called him. I said, look, I'm going to do this show. And if anybody calls you, please be nice. Yeah. And we had a very, you know, amicable breakup. So there wasn't really anything for him to say. But there was, you know, a couple of people that unsavory characters that I dated. And I thought, oh, gosh, if they are like looking for money or, you know, trying to, you know, things like that, worry you. But it is what it is. And I always say the best thing to do is whatever you've done, your past is your past. Just say, yeah, I did it. I learned from it and move on.
I agree. 100% just own it. I feel like Lisa Rinna. What about did you feel pressure about how you were going to look on television? Because this is a question that I always wonder, and I know a lot of other women think, gosh, if I were on the show, the pressure to be tiny, because on camera you look bigger than you are in real life. So did you feel like that? Because I suspect, and I don't have any, you know, statistics to back me up on this, but I believe that there's a possibility that all of these women on television probably are not in the best of health, because to maintain a low weight to be on television.
I would agree with you. There's a lot of Adderall going around, I think, and and, you know, and with these women. But I'll tell you an interesting story. When I did my tape, you know, they have to come and talk to you and see if you're going to be a good fit and then send it back to Bravo. I was overweight, and I have struggled with my weight my entire life.
Yeah.
And my biggest fear was I was going to be made fun of because of my weight. And Bravo kept saying, well, that's not an issue. That's not an issue. I'm like, I'm not going to be the fat person on TV. So when I did know that I was going to be on the show, I went to a weight loss doctor and I did the HCG diet and then I did the paleo diet, and I pretty much stayed with that.
Yeah.
And I've maintained, but I'm still probably the fattest person on the show at a size 6, you know.
I don't think you're very tiny in person.
People say that. It's
and
so
I
funny.
I have to say, you're a very natural beauty. I feel like on television, it looks like, you know, you're glammed like out. Very glammy Dallas. But I'm sitting in front of you and you really don't have much makeup on, and you're very natural looking in person.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
and
that.
And tiny. You're tiny. So I can imagine the stress.
Yeah, it was very stressful because there was a cast member that was saying I was fat. And she was going to use that against me on the show. And I felt like she was getting her, you know, other friends on the show to use that as well.
What do you mean use that? Like, haha,
just
you're
make
fat,
fun
like
of me.
You're 12
make
years
fun
old.
Of me. Yeah, make fun of me because I was fat.
But don't they realize that everyone in America would hate them?
I almost wish that she did do it, because it would have given me such a great addition to my storyline, because every woman that most women, not every woman, most women struggle with their weight at one
some
time.
Point.
Yes, some point in their life. I've struggled since I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I remember being, you know, you're so pretty. It's too bad you're overweight. It's, I mean, even when I was a tiny kid, my mother was a very statuesque, tall, thin woman. I mean, she could eat like, you know, 4 pies at night and still, you know, be a size 4 the next morning. And it was like that until she got cancer. I, on the other hand, had my father's genes, like short, stocky people, you know, very sturdy. So it was hard for me growing up. I mean, my mom also, there was a lot of pressure to be thin because she wanted me to look like that. In French, you say poupée, the little doll. Yeah. And I was just, I didn't have that. We're shaped alike, but she was had a high, fast metabolism. So my first fear was, and I said to my husband, I said, they're going to make fun of me because I'm fat. And he was like, Deandra, he said, you're a beautiful woman. I love you. I wouldn't have married you if I didn't think you're beautiful inside and out, and it's going to be okay. And he just supported me, whether I wanted to lose the weight or didn't want to lose the weight. But I'm determined. Getting on the show, I was like, I am losing this weight. And I've kept it off. So, you know, maybe 5 or 6 pounds I go, you know, I fluctuate. But I'm never going to be scary skinny. I like
but
to
also,
eat too much.
If you're in your 40s, especially if you've had
late
children,
40s.
And then you have to go on this like tropical vacation and be in bathing suits. I always get mad about that. Like, I just feel like the pressure then of the person that's on the show to wear a bathing suit. It's like, we're aging women. We're not 20 years old.
And that's what upset. That really scared me to death, because a lot of these women, and you, in the reunion, the first part, they said, how many people have had boob jobs? Mm-hmm. And I didn't raise my hand because I've had a breast reduction. Mm-hmm. I mean, I want smaller breasts because they're just, you know,
I get it.
I like fashionable clothes. And if you have big boobs, you can't wear them, you know?
Yeah.
So Leanne goes, well, you need to raise your hand. You've had a breast reduction. I guess, okay, does that really count? But okay, fine. But when I went on the trip, I was terrified of, you know, my body and how it was going to look. And somebody, sure enough, on Instagram said, oh, when I posted, you know, my little outfits I do every Fashion Friday, they said, oh, you forgot to mention Body by Lazy Boy Recliner. And
okay, did you look at that person's picture?
Yes, I did. And I screenshot it so I know who it is. But I just think,
what do they look like?
I didn't see, it's on Instagram, so you can only see the face. So,
but, like, what an asshole.
Younger person, obviously. Just somebody that just was trying to be mean and nasty for no reason. But it hurt my feelings, and I told my husband, I said, you know, I've really tried so hard to lose this weight, and I do exercise. If people think I don't, I do exercise. I don't do it as much as I would like to because I have to run two companies and I've been traveling a lot, but I do the best I can.
As we all do.
Yeah. And so it's just for somebody to say something mean like that when I feel like I've come so far and I haven't had the plastic surgery except the, you know, the reduction. I had my nose fixed because I fell and broke it. So that's about it.
Well, I just feel like that's the one thing that I really concerns me about shows like this is that, and you know, I watch all of them, is that the pressure for now for women to look perfect to be cast on the show. Mm-hmm. And I know there are lots of women who have really interesting stories in Orange County and they think, I don't know if I want to push myself on a show like this because I don't want people to tell me that I'm fat or I need a nose job or, and that is what disappoints me. So I hope that, that changes, but that's what I have always wondered, that when you agree to the show, do you worry about that?
It's so weird because for all the progress we've made about women's body issues, we just go right back. Yeah. We immediately just step right back when people make nasty comments like that, or when they, yes, you're in front of a camera. And I understand that it is expected if you are going to do that, that you need to look healthy. I mean, healthy certainly, and take care of yourself.
Strong. We should look strong.
Yeah. But you don't have to, I mean, trust me, I told you this before. As far as celebrities go, we're on the very low, low, low rung. I'm like, bottom of my shoe, maybe a piece of gum. Okay, so.
But at the same time, though, I do feel like people, I think you say that, but people really do follow you more than, you know, somebody who's on a television show in Hollywood. People do feel like they know you.
Yeah, that's true.
And I do think that, you know, as much as people put down reality shows, I feel like the stories are so rich on these shows and that people will look at your story and think, you know, I'm in my late 40s and I want to be, you know, in that industry, or I want to, you know, change the chapter of my life and try something new. So the stories are inspiring. I just hate it when it's limited to like how someone looks.
The most rewarding thing for me has been this year having the women that reached out to me, or men, or you know, teenagers, anybody saying, you're such an inspiration to me. I feel like I can do this with my life, or I can, I have confidence now, or I need to go back to school, or I need to do whatever they want to do. They feel like they can do it. And having heard you're an inspiration, that's all I need to know. And you do have the followers. And I think I told you this too, that I have been traveling to kind of the smaller cities and doing the local press there, because I found that those are the people that really watch the show and really care about the show and get invested in you as a person on the show. And they love your stories and they want to hear more. And it's not, you know, New York and LA, yes, that's where the big press is. And of course, I come here and do that. But also, I like to go and meet those people, because those people are the ones that really are the, you know, they'll make or break you, trust me. And they either love or hate you. And you want them to love you. And I love the fact that I've met so many of them and they've been so kind to me. And it's important to me to keep the relationships with you know, Midwest or wherever, the small town America.
Yeah. And I think that's, people probably really appreciate that. And don't just, you know, that you don't just look at it as this career opportunity. You're just pushing products, that you really care about connecting with people.
And that's the fun part. The fun part is definitely when somebody says, I'm going to take a photo with you, or I like you on the show, or I love you on the show, or, and it's, I certainly know, my ego is not inflated to the fact where I think I'm a big star. And you know, I love to take photos with people. I love to meet them. I want to know their names. I want to know why they watch the show. I want to thank them for watching the show. And that's truly how I feel in my heart.
Yeah. I think you are like that. I feel like I know you pretty well.
I think so too.
Yeah, I think you're like that. Okay, tell me about, because we talked in the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. So as the season went on, how did the Dallas society treat you? Because I interviewed a girl from Dallas and she said that people with real money in Dallas think that the show's a joke. Mm-hmm. However, you're actually somebody who has lived in Dallas for a long time. Your family's super connected. Was that your experience? Did people look at you differently?
I believe, okay, I will tell you, at first people were thinking I was absolutely crazy. Why would I do that? And that was a really bad decision. Now that we've gone through the season and we're almost to the end, people have said, you know what? Wow, Deandra, you did a really great job on the show of representing Dallas and Texas in what a well-rounded, well-educated woman is like. And you've made us proud. So I think you've done a whole, I've done a whole 180 with these people and the people that will say it. And I've had letters in the mail from very prominent people in Dallas saying, thank you so much. I was wrong. I made a mistake and you have presented us very well. And I hope you continue on the show. And, and you know, one of the letters I received, and I need to call him and thank him or write him back, is he wrote me an email and a personal letter, and it's a gentleman that I when I chaired the junior league ball, he did the whole, you know, decoration and everything. He's a really big party planner in Dallas. He does the Crystal Charity Ball, which is a huge ball. And he wrote me the sweetest email and then wrote a letter. It just said, I don't know if you got the email or not. I don't know if I have the right email address, but I just want you to know how proud I am of you and how, you know, happy I am for you and how impressed I am with how you've handled yourself on the show. And so I think it's, I think people after, you know, they say they don't watch, but they do watch. And I think now
absolutely.
I've turned them around on it, but you have to, I've tried to be as fair and as well-balanced and just true to who I am.
Mm-hmm. Do you have friends that now are interested in joining the show because they've seen that it's can be a great opportunity?
Yes, I do actually have a few friends. And if we go to season three, I'm going to recommend some, you know, ladies to sit down and talk with Goodbye Pictures and see if they want to, you know, if they're a good fit, because I think they're looking for maybe one more person to even it out. And I think we do need another person with a fresh story. You always need fresh stories and new people to add to the mix.
Do you feel so the people that you really knew were Carrie and Cameron before?
And Leanne.
So Cameron was also new this season. Do you feel like you've had similar experiences? Are you both walking away from it with a similar outlook? Or I know you can't speak for her, but...
Well, I actually can because we are good friends. I think she has been treated very unfairly this year. I think that she's had, I mean, a lot of negative commentary thrown at her. And I don't really think it's fair. But I also, what I told Cameron when we started this process and we did it together, is she said, oh, this will be fun. I said, no, Cameron, it's not going to be fun. It's going to be one of the hardest things you've ever done in your life. Because unless you're really used to criticism, like up close and personal under a microscope, it's hard. It hurts your feelings. And luckily, I think she's more tough than I thought she would be. And it just doesn't really, it bothers her a little bit. It doesn't bother her as much as it bothers me, I think, because I'm more sensitive, even though you wouldn't know that from watching me on the show. Yeah. I have a really sensitive heart. She's handled it very well, but I think people have been unfair to her, and she's a really fun, loving, wonderful person. And I wish more people, hopefully if we come back, they can see that next season.
I think it was hard for people to take seriously the dog food.
Yeah.
Is that really for real?
That is for real. And I just, when she told me that, I said, what? And I was kind of the business advisor on it. And I said, Court's okay with this. He's going to put the money down for this. I said, because Mama D would not be behind this idea at all. But she, when she gets behind something and she believes in it, and that's what she wanted to do. So she made the dog clothes before. And I thought she would maybe, you know, continue to make the dog clothes and that would really push out more because of her being on, you know, Real Housewives of Dallas. But she wanted to make this pink dog food and I think her sales are doing well. So I'm happy for her. I'm happy that she has started something and is not just living with a wealthy man and just shopping. That, you know, it's good that she's doing something with her life. And if it works out for her, great. If it doesn't, I hope she continues to do something else. I've failed so many times in career choices and things I wanted to do.
Right.
Just keep learning from every time. And the most successful people, if you look at statistics and you read books about business entrepreneurs, they've failed like between 36 and 39 times. That's the magic number. So trust me, I think I'm at the very top end of that.
So when it comes to reunion time, so we're at the second part will air soon. There's just two parts or three parts?
There's two parts.
So tell me what goes into the reunion. Are you like, do you worry about what to wear? Do you have somebody that helps you? Do you think about what you're going to talk about ahead of time? How do you prepare for a reunion? Are you taking notes all season long?
I am taking notes. And that was one of the things the girl said, what do you mean you take notes? And because I have a lot going on and I do take notes, with everything I say, with what my friends say, especially with regards to being on a show like this, because there's a lot of he said, she said, and I want to make sure I know what she or he or me said.
You know? Yeah.
But going into the reunion, I was, I think probably it, my outfit, there's a stylist and they picked this Roland Murray jumpsuit, which looked lovely, but after 9 hours didn't look so great because it wrinkled
sitting in it
very
forever.
Badly. And so I got, I think, worst dressed housewife, which has never happened to me in my Did history you? Of dressing, you know, so I was like kind of mortified on that, which, okay, you know, you can't win them all, but it was the most expensive outfit on the stage and it was beautiful. But then the fact of, you know, it just wrinkled badly. And so it didn't really present the way it looked at 10 o'clock in the morning,
yeah.
unfortunately. But yes, I did put thought into it. I wore a jumpsuit. I was the only one allowed to wear a jumpsuit, which I thought was kind of cool. And Bravo wanted me to wear a jumpsuit.
What do you mean you were the only one that they let? They have to okay.
They choose the outfits and they came to me and said, okay, they want you to wear a jumpsuit.
You show them a couple options and then they choose.
I didn't show them anything.
Oh, wow.
They came to me and said, what colors do you like? What, you know, this is what the color palette is. And then they sent the clothes to me and then they said, Bravo would like for you to wear a jumpsuit, which I thought was really cool because that's kind of a power, you know, power play when everyone else is wearing dresses.
Prom dresses, really.
You said it.
I'm like, why are they wearing that? Like, Leanne's gown. I'm like, what is she wearing?
And she got best dressed.
I mean, how uncomfortable is that?
It looked very uncomfortable. Yeah. I know. And then I wouldn't be, I would be, if you're sitting for that long and you had such a slit, I mean, you've got to be really,
I would be so paranoid about that. My cellulite showing. Yeah. Oh, crotch shot. Mm-mm.
Yeah. I that would never have done well on my figure, but that was, so it's kind of, you know, scary because they have to approve all your clothes. They do that for confessionals too, which I call confessionals.
Yeah.
And some of them I look like the prom queen and I'm not thrilled about that, but I learned my lesson this year. And I will have things planned ahead of time, much more ahead of time. But going into the reunion, it's a long day. It's scary. You get there at, you know, they wanted to have a meeting at 8:30 the night before at the bar at the hotel. And I'm like, I have to be up.
Meeting about what?
About what was going to happen the next day and how it was going to go. And so we met with the vice president and the director and then the producer, and they kind of told us about things. And that's where they told us that no husbands were allowed when, in fact, Carrie's husband was coming.
I see.
And so that's what I was really disappointed because, and I've told this to other people, I said, I don't care how many people are on the set and I'm sitting there by myself. I can defend myself. Fine.
Yeah.
You can bring your husband, your dog, your kids, your household help, your employees, a three-ring circus. I don't care. But just tell me it's going to happen because it's not fair to pull a surprise like that. And I know that that's what they want. And for me, it wasn't so bad because I didn't really have anything they were going to do to me. But for Leanne, when she saw Mark come in, that she knew, OK, they're coming to just slaughter me for the rest of the day. And it bothered her. And you can only take so much. And yes, Leanne's tough, but to continue just bash and bash and bash and bash, it's just you break down. You can't take anymore. And so that's why she walked off. And I think it was right of her to walk off because she needed to cool down.
Mm-hmm. And now she's saying that she might not come back.
Well, I think when you go out on the heels of a reunion and you have, it's, tensions are high.
Yeah.
It's so emotionally, just, it's an emotional struggle and it's emotionally, it just is, I mean, you feel just like exhausted when you leave. And I was exhausted and I didn't have that much thrown at me, but just for the stupid things I said that I shouldn't have said, or I wish I would have gone there. I wish I would have done this. You always double, you know, overthink your answers and you always say, oh gosh, I should have done that. But, I understand why she's saying that. I mean, who wouldn't say that with what she's been through? And she's been attacked on social media, and it's not by necessarily, yes, there's people that don't know us that attack us, but it's more by fellow cast members. And I really think we're going to have to cut that next year because we've got to be not so, you know, can't be so toxic.
Well, also, I mean, she did say weird stuff during the season. The thing I worry about her is
her mouth.
Yeah, but I also feel like as much as it's like her Achilles heel that she gets rewarded for it by being on this television show. So it's like a ping pong game in her head.
Right.
It's like I'm getting paid to be this way. So I'm obligated to say things and behave that way because they expect this of me. And I'm, you know, like I've heard her say stuff to Heather about like, I'm carrying the show on my back. So I feel like she amps it up or does it because she feels like she needs to in order to be on the show. Can Leanne be on the show without saying, I'm going to strangle you with my hands?
Well, I think she's going to have to because first of all, nobody wants to hear that storyline again. We're tired of it. Yeah. Don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think it's been exhausted, beat a dead horse. My mother always says, I don't want to hear about that. I just turn that part off every time. You know, she just some things. Okay, we've heard that. Move on. We're not really scared. If so far she hasn't brandished a weapon.
Right.
I mean, I was not there on season one with that situation with Marie, and that was brought up again at reunion. I don't know how traumatic that was for everyone. There had been drinking going on for, you know, a very long time.
Yeah.
And so, but I understand. I mean, I think she needs to basically just be cordial to the ladies. You know, they all need to be cordial to each other. I need to be cordial. They need to be cordial to her. We all need to have mutual respect. We don't have to like, I mean, do you like everyone you work with? No, probably not. You work by yourself, but in most jobs, I don't like everyone I work with, but I'm cordial.
There
respectful.
Are lots of people I interview I don't like.
Yeah,
sure.
But you just, I mean, it's a professional thing to do. So let's all have professional courtesy and realize that we're here to make, you know, we're here to tell our stories in order, in a way that makes a show that people want to watch and they want to be interested in us.
Yeah.
And they want to come back, but so much bitterness and acrimony is not going to make people continue to come back because they're tired of it. I mean, we're just exhausted from people are exhausted from watching that all the time.
Well, I think people get tired of the same storylines. You get the episodes a couple days before. Mm-hmm. Were there any moments where you thought, oh God, I just can't wait for this week to be over?
There were some moments and things that I said that came out of my mouth that I thought, oh, why did I say that? Especially when, you know, don't tell my mother I said that. And I knew she was going to be angry about my language or the way I said that. I wish we had a better relationship because of the business, you know, kind of put a, it kind of puts a wedge between us. And she was very hurt that I said that. And so I knew that that was going to happen. I was more worried about my relationship with my mom than with my husband.
One thing I do want you to talk about is how, you know, on the show, it's like your mother telling you you don't know how to manage money, and it's juxtapositioned with your stepson in the closet with like $18,000 gowns.
Mm-hmm.
So give people a little bit of perspective about that, because you talked about that this morning with me about.
Right. So when my father passed away, my biological father, there was a lot of initial money that came to me, and it was monthly, and I just thought that was going to be like that for the rest of my life. And stupidly, I was a lot younger. I would spend a lot of money, and I love beautiful things. I love to travel. I like nice clothes and jewelry and handbags. And so instead of really preparing for my future and, you know, putting it away or preparing for Hard Night Good Morning, I did fund Hard Night Good Morning out of that money. So that is definitely true. My mother did not put the money down for Hard Night Good Morning. I did. But I was a spendthrift, and I learned my lesson because now I wish I could do it all over again, and I wouldn't do it that way. So I do have a lot of nice things from the years that I spent the money, like, you know, it was never going to go away. It was growing on trees. And my mom has legitimate fear about that. My mom also grew up, you know, she's like a Depression era kid.
Totally.
My grandfather was a butcher. They had no money. She had one pair of shoes a year. She walked, you know, just like 3 miles to school and back in any kind of weather. So she didn't grow up with anything. And so she has a different, she knows the value of a dollar. I finally do. It took me a while to get there because I did grow up privileged, and she wanted me to have privilege and have things because she never had them.
Yeah, that's tough.
But I'm like, Mom, you created this monster.
Right, totally.
Don't be mad at it. You created it. It's hard to go back from, you know, growing up with 75 gowns at 5 years old, or 75 pairs of shoes and 250 dresses at 5 years old. That's what, like, and she bought that for me.
Who counts the dresses?
And then
the
your feet grow. You're a kid, and you grow out of these dresses within like a few months or, you know, a year. Yeah. It's just crazy. So she kind of started. We would go to Neiman Marcus every Friday when she was dating my stepfather. And then when they got married, every Friday we'd go and we'd fill the car full and come home. And then we'd go to this really fancy restaurant where I had to have a booster seat. Nobody had their children there. It was called the Pyramid Room. It was at the Fairmont Hotel, and they still have it there. But this is years ago. That was the only like nice place to go eat. We go every Friday, and they had to order the booster seat in for me. And I would have caviar or foie gras or, you know, some ridiculous, or escargot, or, I mean,
that's hilarious.
I was enabled.
That she would say that, given that. Yeah. That's what you need to do. You say, let's just recap. Remember when I was five and I had caviar while sitting in a booster seat? You created this.
And I thought every child did this on Friday nights, you know, after going to Neiman Marcus.
And is your circle of friends all people that are incredibly privileged?
No, actually not at all. I surround myself with people I like. Yeah. Most of my really good friends, and you know this, are my college friends, and they live all over the country, and they're accomplished in business and very interesting, very different than the society people that I know. Not that those society people aren't interesting, but they all work and they have a career and they have, you know, a different perspective because they're not married into maybe wealth or privilege. They're all doing fine, but they're not, they look at my life and they just think it's, they want to know about it because they think it's entertaining and interesting and funny. And, you know, and then they tell them about the little squabbles that the society women have. They're like, are you kidding me? Who has time, you know, for all that kind of stuff? And they just can't believe it. Some of the things that I have gone through since I moved back to Dallas with regards to those little tight circles of society women about how mean they were to me because I was successful at fundraising, and jealousy, and just, I mean, constant stuff. And it was just such stress on me. And they're like, why do you even care? Yeah. And I finally, the reason I did Housewives this year is I finally said, I don't care anymore. Whatever I do for you, as you know, if I was on a committee or something and I was helping you to raise money, or if I'm the best person you have, which I was for a lot of these things, you're still not going to like me. No matter what I do, you're not going to like me. You want me to fall in line with your rules and regulations for everything that you think should be happening in Dallas or with regards to these charities, whatever. And I'm done. Because it's never going to endear you to me in a real basis. You're not going to like who I am. You're not going to like me. So why do I care anymore? I'm going to go do Housewives and, you know, build my own career. I held myself back because I was trying to, I did a lot of good for Dallas, but I was trying to make friends with women that don't really want to be my friends.
Right. And the lesson is, care less about what other people think and pursue your own.
The one thing I would say to people, and I had an interview a couple of days ago in Dallas, a panel of women, they said, what's the thing you would tell your 30-year-old self?
Yeah.
And I said, care less about what people think, care nothing about what people think. I mean, be respectful and be kind and be honest at all times, but don't worry about, you know, I'll worry about what I look like, about my dress that I was wearing, about what Susie Q was saying. And Susie Q's not thinking about me. She may be for 5 seconds gossiping. Then she's worried about what people are thinking about her.
Yeah.
I mean, you think less about that and just keep on a straight and narrow path of what you want to do with your life and achieve those goals.
Yeah.
And be good to other people. I mean, be a good friend, be an honest person, integrity, integrity. You only have one reputation and you can ruin it in 30 seconds and then, you know, can't get it back.
Yeah. So tell us where we can buy all your products.
So you can go to hardnightgoodmorning.com and that's the only, and ultimateliving.com, www.ultimateliving. That's my mother's company, but it has also Hard Night Good Morning. And those two sites have the L22. I have some products on Amazon, the Hard Night Good Morning products, but I don't believe they have the L22 yet. And in the Southwest, and you can buy Whole Foods, you can only buy a few of my skincare products. So, and Central Market, which is another Southwest chain.
Okay.
But we may be branching out. So I'm in talks with some networks and some different retailers. So I hope that helps.
Did the show help tremendously?
It did help
for the product.
It did help for the product. Yeah. And I also think it established me as a businesswoman, even though it was funny to watch my mother's dynamic with me, but not just as a socialite, you know, fluffy person or whatever, you know, somebody who is serious and wants to head a company and be a successful woman versus just some, you know, person who walks around going to tea parties and charity events.
No, I mean, I've been with you, and while, you know, you're like taking calls and you're totally making deals while I'm around you, and I don't believe that you're making that up. I don't believe that this is like a Paris Hilton situation where you've got like a phone up and there's no one on the other line.
Yeah.
I mean, you're like making deals happen. So I'm just so pleased that we got a chance to
meet up. Well, thank you so much. I hope that this, you know, this show, I hope it gets renewed next season. Going forward, what I'd like to do with my life is continue with the skincare, Hard Night Good Morning, and Ultimate Living, but also then have a Deandra Simmons kind of lifestyle brand.
Yeah.
Look at Kathy Ireland, what she's done with her career, Martha Stewart, you know, besides the jail time. And, you know, and some other ladies that have different things. And hopefully I'm going to come out with new products. And I really want to do that.
Stuff that you have been working on, which you can't talk about yet,
yes.
But that preceded the Housewives.
Yes.
So there are things coming in the
there are things coming, and I want to do more things with my husband.
Yeah.
And we have such a great dynamic. He's the most, I'm sorry, I know you want to end this, but he's the most wonderful man on the face of the earth. He is loving, kind, funny, just what you see on TV. He is just so grounded and everybody loves him.
Yeah.
So I hope you get to see, if we do a season three, more of him next year too.
I'm sure the America wants to see more of him too.
That's what Andy said.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Kate. I appreciate it.
Oh, tell everybody where they can find you on social media.
So you can find me on Twitter, Deandra Simmons, and Instagram, Deandra Simmons, and also on Facebook, Deandra Simmons. And yes, I have a Snapchat. I don't even know how to use this stupid thing, but I try, you know, every once in a while. It's just to do four things is too much.
Hilarious. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Wouldn't it be great if you could have nutritious, Instagram-worthy meals every single day and without having to go to the farmer's market on a Saturday and chop up a million fruits and veggies? Well, guess what? Now you can get all of your superfoods super fast with Daily Harvest. Daily Harvest sends superfood eats straight to your door. Not even kidding you. You can open the door. There's the package. Daily Harvest freezes all of their ingredients at peak freshness, sealing in their nutritional value. And their produce is organic and unrefined. And trust me, it looks just as amazing as it tastes. This morning, my friend stayed over and she had a banana, raw almond, coffee, cacao, vanilla bean, Himalayan sea salt, and green coffee smoothie because I don't actually own a coffee maker. So go to daily-harvest.com and enter promo code REALITYLIFE to get 3 items for free in your first box. That's promo code REALITYLIFE for 3 free Daily Harvest cups at daily-harvest.com. daily-harvest.com. Sarah Barney tracked me down, and now I've tracked her down. She lives in Austin. She's an interior decorator, but she has a very interesting background. She used to work as a talent agent, where she was on track to become a talent agent. So she's got kind of a window into reality TV, and at one time worked for Ellen DeGeneres. So how in the world did you end up in Austin, Texas?
I ended up in Austin. My family, we moved here when I was 8. So I was from Austin, but I knew I always wanted to work in entertainment. So as soon as I was done college, I packed up and moved to LA.
And so tell me one juicy story from those days.
Oh my God. There's so many. One juicy story. I mean, there's just so much crazy stuff. And I think, like, for me, I don't know, I get starstruck by athletes and reality stars. And so people gush, like, you've been to Julia Roberts' house? I'm like, yeah, so what? That's not a big deal. She saved me from a garbage man almost running me over. So I don't get crazy about that stuff, but people love hearing those stories. And they're like little stupid things that I, you know, like ran to like Matthew McConaughey's house at midnight to deliver a script and just silly stuff like that.
Yeah, I know. But what did you see when you went to Matthew McConaughey's house? Was he naked? Was there somebody there? Was he drinking? Was he smoking a bong? What did you see?
Yeah, I mean, the craziest things I probably had to do were like order ladies of the night for clients.
Okay, well, that's a big deal. How do you find a lady of the night?
They actually give me their contact info. They won't tell me their names. And then they just tell me to call them and tell them where, like, which hotel to meet them at and when, and that a car will be coming for them and they will be scheduled from this time to this time.
Okay. So well, the people,
so they never say ladies of the night, but you know what's happening. Like, you know who you're calling.
So give me a clue about one person that would have asked for a lady of the night. Just give me a clue about that person.
He's a very well-known British man who's on reality television.
Simon Cowell.
That should probably give you enough information, right?
Wow. Okay. Well, this has just made my day. Not entirely surprising, but interesting.
Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of crazy stuff that happens, you know.
Good stuff. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I forced you to watch a show, which is probably not forcing you because you enjoy this, a little show called Fixer Upper.
Yeah. I don't know if I enjoy it, but yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. So for Fixer Upper, for those who don't know, Chip and Joanna Gaines own and operate Magnolia Homes, a remodeling and design business in Waco, Texas. And Fixer Upper shows the process by which the couple turn dilapidated but potential rich houses into show places that are helping revitalize whole neighborhoods throughout Central Texas. I happened to watch this by chance at a nail salon on 17th Street in Newport Beach this past weekend. okay, these are my first thoughts or questions.
Yeah.
I know that this is an enormous hit for HGTV.
Unbelievably huge, yes.
I feel like this is a specific, like a terrific show to watch in a nail salon because it's like the Food Network where you wouldn't necessarily watch it at home, but if you were stuck in or like imprisoned somewhere, it could be quite relaxing. But I don't know if I would necessarily want to watch this, like DVR it and watch it at night with a glass of wine.
I think that that's fair.
Okay, and the number two, I don't know much about their relationship, only that they have four children. They mysteriously are not doing their show after five episodes, and that I read a blind item intimating that the reason that the end of the show came was because he may have done something that he regrets. Maybe an affair, I'm not sure.
Okay.
But I do get the sense when I'm watching the show, and this was the first episode I've ever seen of a show, that she is constantly annoyed by him.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So let me just back up and say that Chip and Joe, like, they are a huge hit for HGTV. What they have done to the city of Waco is unbelievable. I travel to California, New York often, and I have met random people in New York City who will tell me, yeah, but tell me more about Waco. I think it would be really fun to vacation there. And let me just tell you, as somebody who lives in Texas, Waco is a shithole. It is not a fun place to visit. There's nothing fun there to do. It is not a great city. So, and I'm sure people will kill me for saying that, but it is not like a destination by any means. So what they have done is really amazing. The fact that people care so much about Waco, but yeah, he's just so obnoxious. I'm sorry. He's just like this frat boy gone wrong. And he just, the episode, like when he started screaming at the very beginning, when she's talking, I was just like, please shut up. He's just so annoying. And she is constantly irritated by him. And I heard that too about the marriage or something, like some secret blind item, whatever, that he maybe did something wrong. And I actually saw them being interviewed on the Today Show and they brought it up and they didn't say no. And they didn't really deny that maybe their marriage was in trouble. I don't know.
And now he's putting out stories that they want to have another baby. And I'm not believing it. So this specific episode, season three, episode nine, the Whites are this young couple. They've got a toddler and she's pregnant with another baby. And they have a modern traditional style. So they wanted to take this shit box that they had that they purchased and turn it into something nice. Now, a couple questions. Number one, why do the Whites have money to do this? Because they look like they just graduated from high school. Number two, do the Chip and Joe really design this, or is this like a team of people, much like Trading Spaces, that are doing these homes, but it makes it look like just the two of them are doing it?
Well, you know, it's so funny on this show in particular. It's like, I don't know how some of these people have their money, but also when they find these old homes in Waco, I'm sort of surprised because Texas in general isn't that old in terms of the buildings there. It's not like the Northeast where everything's from like the 1800s, you know, and is established. These, like when they find these like 1919 homes or whatever it is, I don't know. Like they're pretty run down. There's a lot of new builds. There's no reason for them having to make over these things, but whatever, it is what it is. But I think Joanne has like some say in it, but at this point it's sort of like turnkey, you know, it's like put some shiplap up, some rusted metal planters on the wall and maybe a giant clock and then we're good to go.
Yes. And one scene, she stuck these plants on the wall and I thought to myself, this is like Trading Spaces where the owner or homeowner is going to watch. They're going to watch Chip and Joe walk out the door and say to each other, like, get that shit off the wall ASAP.
It's so, I mean, people who like love them though, love them. And I've been to their silos that their big store and whatever in Waco. And it's a lot of stuff that looks like that. Like why you would buy it already rusted brand new, I don't know, but that's their thing. And there's a line out the door for people to buy it. It is, I don't know. I think, yeah, I would rip it down. Why you want shiplap on your wall? I don't understand that either. That's the stuff that goes under the drywall. And I don't know if the drywall business is hating them right now because they're completely out of work because of it. But it's really insane the level of excitement people get over them.
I feel like there are a lot of barn doors in the pictures that I peek through their website. I feel like a lot of these houses have barn doors. Is this like a new trend?
Oh my gosh. If I had, you know, a quarter for every time I was asked to do a barn door, I would not need to work anymore. And I can say, as somebody who has two barn doors that I did not put in my house, but are in my house, they are the worst. They come off the track all the time. They fall over. They're not practical with kids, especially because kids can just knock them off the rails. So yeah, it is a total trend. It's something everybody wants. And you kind of just have to go along with it.
I don't enjoy it. Do you know, I saw Joanna at Anthropology at the mall, and I didn't really know who she was. I felt like people were looking at her, but it didn't occur to me until like a day later when I saw her picture somewhere. So it is interesting, like homeowner DIY people, they're like super celebrities.
I know. And like these guys in particular, and I don't know if it's like the church set or if it's like a Texas thing. And I think because Chip acts like a total idiot most of the time, that people find them super charming and they want to be like them. But I don't know. It's just not really my thing. I can't get really down with it. And people in Texas especially are absolutely nuts for them.
So this is what I'm going to think. I say like a year from now, they decide that they tried to work it out. They get divorced. 2 years from now, she starts dating someone that worked on their, like they're part of their team on the show.
Oh, you know who I bet it would be is the, I don't like the guy who does all their tables. She always is going to his woodshed and he's like, okay, I'll design this table for you, Joe. And they sit and work together and design tables together.
Would this be the guy that created in this episode, the little table for the little girls in the side office?
Yeah.
Clint Harp built the little table that I designed for her playroom. Okay, so Clint and Joanna, they hook up, or they either are in a relationship that ends in marriage or is just like hot and heavy for a little while.
Yeah.
And that she has a spinoff show, but it's just her, but he is like an executive producer. Mm. I'm going to say that Chip takes himself out for a spin for a couple of years. He dates a couple 26-year-olds who fawn over him. And then he realizes 3 years, 4 years out that he made the biggest mistake of his life by messing around on the side, which created the destruction of their marriage. They never get back together again.
Yeah. You know, I wish they were that interesting of people. I hope that for them, actually. That would really entertain me. But I just don't know if Joe's got it in her.
Yeah. When I think of Waco, I think of David Koresh.
Exactly. And I think that they want you to not think that. And so they're like, let's remake Waco. But it really, it's a tiny town. And it's not, like I said, it's not a destination by any means.
Too bad that the Branch Davidian burned down, because that would have been,
they could have remade that.
That would have been a real nice fixer-upper episode.
Right.
You know, I say, why don't they do a season of remodeling cult compounds? So tell everybody how they can find you, because tell everybody about your business so they can also find you.
Yeah. So I'm an interior designer based in Austin, but I work all over the country, and I specialize in residential, but I also work in commercial. My company is called Band Design. It's spelled like B-N-D. It's named after my daughters, so don't ask the full story behind it, but it's Band Design. So it has an extra D at the end. And you can find me everywhere is the same name. It's Join the Band with an extra D on the end. And I like to have fun, and I don't take design too seriously. I like to have fun with it. And, you know, I respect Chip and Joe. I like what they've done in their business, but yeah, I'm tired of the rust and the shiplap. So there you go.
All right. Good stuff. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you. Such a blast. And I can't wait to go to Waco.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way that you shop, with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman, and they pass the savings on to us. So I just got a 100% organic cotton tiered maxi skirt in red and a chiffon pleated midi skirt in soft pink. Now I'm going to wear both of them with either a white scoop t-shirt or a black tank top. In fact, wait, should we all get the same outfit and meet for drinks? Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/KateKC for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/KateKC to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/KateKC.
Benjamin Cohen is from Boston, Massachusetts. He is an IT analyst. He is the host with Lee Kilby of the Daggers Out podcast. And most importantly, he studied media studies at NYU. So I felt like he was the perfect person to help me discuss a little gem of a show. I know I say little gem of a show, but I do feel like in this case, I don't know if it's a gem of a show, but it's a gem of an episode, I would say. I would say that's a better classification. Wouldn't you say, Ben?
I would say that it's a gem of editing.
Yes.
Clearly. It is that one of the tightest shows I think you and I have ever watched. It just beats.
It is a horrendous show. And this specific episode is equally terrible. The show is Million Dollar Matchmaker. I think it's Patty Stanger's like third version of Million Dollar Matchmaker. And this episode, she has two celebrity, and I say celebrity with quotation marks, guests, and they are Shondo, a man who is a cage fighter, and Courtney Sodden, who is the 16-year-old bride of a 50-year-old actor on the show Lost. So, first question out of the gate, were you familiar with all parties involved in this episode?
Well, Courtney Sodden was celebrated by the gossip blogs because she's a cash cow. I was not familiar with Shondo, but I can't believe that guy's not famous. He's basically a walking erection. That guy is all energy.
I'll tell you why he's not famous. Yeah. It's because he's hideous. He has a rat tail on the front of his head.
He stole my joke.
He's constantly oiled up with baby oil as if he just walked out of a boxing ring. And for those of us who are athletic know that once you sweat a lot, you tend to smell. So no woman wants to see a man really sweaty from working out because all we can think of is how disgusting one must smell. So I didn't know who he was, but were you familiar with this cage fighting world?
I'm familiar with MMA to a certain extent. I like Uriah Faber and some of the guys who fight at 135, but I really haven't followed it. Shonda's probably fighting in one of the lower tier leagues or promotions, whatever you want to call it. So I'm really not familiar with him, but I can't believe that Candace was on the show, one of the alleged matchmakers.
So the matchmakers, there's Patty and then there's this man and woman. I've noticed that they are always in coordinating outfits. Are they married? Are they friends? What is the situation?
I know from watching another episode that Candace was formerly a Price is Right model. And I think she's just there to react. I don't think she has any experience with matchmaking. That kind of goes par for the course with that show, because I heard that Dustin and his wife were hired as actors off of Craigslist.
All right, let's go through this disaster of an episode. Let's start with Courtney. Courtney, in her package, shows herself at a home that she wants us to pretend she owns in the Hollywood Hills. She was in a hot tub with a bunch of hookers and someone who may or may not be on crystal meth. And she had her ass up in the air and there was a clear shot of her vagina. I cannot imagine what kind of gentleman would look at this video package and think to himself, this is a woman that I would like a long and lasting future with. You are a gentleman. What were your thoughts?
My thoughts are that she's trying to make a living as a Playboy model without Playboy. If you go to her Twitter, you will find that she's one of these models, celebrities. I don't know how to explain it. She's on social media. Every time somebody subscribes and buys her photos, it gets a pop on her Twitter feed. So for me, this seemed more like an infomercial to buy her stuff as opposed to her looking for long-lasting love.
Also, she said that
her dream gentleman looks like Paul Ryan, which I found fascinating because I didn't get the impression she really reads, much less watches the news. She showed up to her date wearing track pants, a corset, and some stripper heels. She then proceeded to rip off the bar, pour herself some champagne, and then have her date, who was a yoga instructor, take a body shot off of her. Do we believe that that guy was a yoga instructor?
I think when it comes to Patty's show, like, all her interviews with the suitors are always like, oh, so you do yoga. Well, you can center her out and balance her. Like, it's all like this quick stuff. Like, I take Pilates. And you know, I just actually came from Pilates class, and it's like Patty looked me over. Aside from, you know, the obvious glaring issue she would have with me, I'm a redhead, I'm pale.
Oh yeah,
high required. Yeah, she loves to get into those details, right? But she'd be like, "Oh, you're into Pilates? You know, that involves a lot of breathing. Maybe you can calm her down a little bit,
right?
Like that kind of thing." So with this guy, I think this day was doomed to fail from the start. Like, the only purpose of getting this guy with Courtney was that so she would do what she does best, which is party on camera and break the rules and give the show what it needs.
Patty's most constructive criticism to her was, and I quote, "Check yourself before you wreck yourself." I don't know if she's aware it is no longer 1992. I don't know what credentials she has to be matchmaking. I understand this is like the 75th show she's had. I think we can all agree that she's perhaps not the best person to contact. I always feel like in interviews when people ask her about her statistics, they change. She makes a lot of remarks about how she's danced at a lot of people's weddings. I'm going to assume they're at weddings that she's had no involvement in. Perhaps they're weddings on the set of a wedding, you know, planning show. But I can't imagine that anybody has actually met and married off of a show that she's created. Can you give me any insight that you have about her statistics?
Absolutely. And I didn't do this for this recording. I've actually kept up on this because I used to hate watch Patty Stanger. The New York season of Millionaire Matchmaker is epic because Patty is melting down all the time, and she's mad at her clients for being themselves and not obeying it. She's really harsh. Somebody wrote an article about it a long time ago. I want to say it was on the Daily Beast, but I can't be too sure about that, about her statistics just on the show. They would go to the end where they said whether or not they went on a date again. And he did the math, and basically just to get to the second date was a 33% chance.
Oh.
And then after, if there was a third date, that was maybe 7%. And that's just on the Bravo show from, I guess, 5 seasons of it, or however long the sampling was. Patty's statistics are jank. That's the best way to put it. We have no way to prove it, and it's not like she's going to release her numbers so that data crunchers can go through it. I wouldn't believe her about anything on that.
I don't know if I really believe in the matchmaking. And I say this as somebody who met her husband on Match.com, but the individual matchmaker, someone that is tasked with taking two people from, you know, divergent worlds and making them come together as one, I'm suspect because I feel like, and especially when it comes to TV dating shows, the pool of applicants is so terrible. So at this point, it's like, okay, you've got, you know, you've got a weird earlobe and a black tooth, but you're one of the only ones that is single. So I'm going to introduce you to someone who is a hooker, but pretends that she teaches music classes on the side. I can't imagine there are many normal people who apply to this show. Have you ever known anyone to apply to this show or to one of these individual matchmaking businesses?
Yes, me.
And no!
I'm doing it right now. Yes.
Tell me more.
I signed up with Talkify. I think I follow Eden Sassoon on Instagram. I'm a big fan of her. She's actually the one that got me into Pilates and actually chatted with me. Anybody who thinks she's crazy, they're probably right, but she's probably the most supportive human being. But she liked this Talkify ad, and I've been having troubles dating. I apparently stink at it. to a certain degree. It's all a numbers game where I basically have to swipe through 10,000 profile. I know I've swept through several profiles more than three times at this point. Like, I know the faces.
Wait a minute.
And that's on Bumble and OkCupid.
Why are we seeking the advice of Eden Sassoon from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills only one season? Why do we think that she would be someone that would give you insight?
Well, she gave me insight about Pilates. She was super right about that. But I can't knock it. And probably not looking at me and just hearing my voice, that sounds suspect. But now I'm doing things with my body that I wasn't able to do 3 months ago in August when I started. So she's credible on Pilates, but Talkify seemed like a good idea. It was like when you talk about 98 Day Fiance, I always feel like I'm 10 minutes away from being that guy that goes on Filipino Cupid.
Well, have you ever been on J-Date?
Yeah. And I live in Boston. So aside from my family, there's probably 9 other Jews.
Got it. Okay.
It's my age range, right? It's all Irish Catholic.
Right. Oh, my. Yes. Absolutely, my people. I feel like I feel like you need to move. I feel like a move is in your future.
Well, I don't mind dating Irish Catholic women. I'm just not going to use J-Date to get to that point.
Right.
The only thing that dating a Jewish girl really saves me is explaining the holidays, and we have 600 of them.
You sure do, and I know that because my kids go to a Jewish school. Let me ask you this: do your kids need to be raised Jewish?
My kids, no. In fact, my parents are the opposite of the stereotypes. So they are not knocking down my door to give them grandkids. My sister has actually done that for them. So I'm off the hook.
Okay. Interesting. And may I ask how old you are, or can you give me a range?
No, I'll tell you how old I am. I'm 39.
Okay. Good age. And you're ready to settle down, get married?
Yeah, I have been for about 4 or 5 years now.
Okay. And what do you do in your spare time?
I podcast and I do Pilates. I watch reality TV fervently.
Okay, here are a couple of problems. I don't want you to tell anybody that you do Pilates. I need you to stop telling people that, because what that tells me is that between the IT analysts and the reality TV, that you don't like to sweat. So I feel like you need to do like a boxing
There's
class.
There's plenty of sweating. Have you ever jumped laying down? It's nuts.
No, I know. I've done Pilates, but I just don't think a woman is interested in a man who uses a reformer as their sole source of exercise. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to do SoulCycle or a boxing class. I want you to get out of your house. I want you to go to some bars. That's where the Irish Catholic girls go in Boston. And I feel like it's going to open a whole new world for you.
I've definitely been offered that advice before about going to the bars, but as I have one defect, I'm super shy. I've never, like, imagine the situation just going up to girls to smush, and, you know, at Bamboo. I'm the opposite. And I grew up in Jersey, so we're totally on the different ends of the spectrum. But I can work that out.
There's a future for you. I feel like girls like to marry nerds. I'm married to a nerd myself. It's a good thing. So I feel like you got to get out of your house and stop doing Pilates and stop seeking the advice of a Real Housewives of Beverly Hills cast member.
Oh, I haven't talked to her in a while.
Who only made it through one season. I mean, for the love of God, you may as well call Carlton at this point. You know what I'm saying? You gotta switch it up.
She can help me get an agent.
I don't know. I'm a little bit concerned. Okay, so then we've got Shondo, the man with the rat tail on the front of his head. He made his date, a girl that looked perfectly normal, go to the beach and wear one of those weird jackets where they put, like, dog meat underneath the elbow and then had a dog attack her. Why in the world would anyone want to stay on a date with that? And his response to everything is dope. So that's another issue for me. What were your thoughts about the setup of that date?
I wonder if the producers gave Shondo options or if that's what he had his heart settled on.
Right.
Right. Because he comes off and he's like, you know, the whole world, goddamn world is pussified. Shondo don't do that.
Yes, so, I have a hard time with people who talk about themselves in the third person.
And he does it. He does it so much. Permission to speak in the third person? No. Well, I'll give myself permission. Shondo said, you know, he just goes on.
He's he's a mystery to me. I also, again, the dope thing really just kind of threw me. I don't know how, what do you say? He's like 33 years old.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's my prediction. He will be a still single, age 42. He will be, working as a receptionist at the cage fighting gym. And some of the women who work there will ask to be put into different schedules so that they can avoid him. Where do you see him in a couple of years?
I see him possibly getting severely injured, doing a stunt like rock climbing, skydiving, something where he's just kind of pushing the adrenaline. And going back to that date, I thought it would have been really funny if he had talked to the date with, like, come on, just, you know, get a little bite for me. Get a little nibble from the dog. Come on, you can do it. Like, just babied her about it. Trying to be sweet. Come on, don't you want to get bit by the dog? Don't you want to do it? But I don't know how she didn't run screaming away. Somebody must have gotten in her ear about it.
Well, I'm going to tell you why she didn't run away screaming, because she's trying to be an actress. So she's going to add this to her reel. So the more time she's on television, the closer she gets to a Screen Actor Guild card. So that's why these people show up to the set and why they're willing to stay, because I guarantee you that no one was interested in dating either of these weirdos. Tell everybody where they can find you.
You can find us on Facebook at the Daggers Out Podcast. We have our own page, and you can find us on Twitter at Daggers Out Pod. I host with Lee Kilby, who is a writer from Trash Talk TV.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. If you're looking for new style inspiration, Saks.com is the place to go. Saks.com is making it easy for me to shop for the spring with their selection of chic clothes and accessories. Right now, I'm looking at Saks.com so I can find my new going out vibe. I'm looking for a breezy Zimmerman dress for an evening cocktail party. And for my upcoming conference in Los Angeles, I'm looking at bright Chloe blazers because I'm pushing myself to wear more orange and pink. Saks.com will inspire you to shop for everything on your agenda. So find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
I want to thank my great guests this week, Deandra Simmons, Sarah Barney, and Benjamin Cohen. I want to remind you, you can go to my website, www.loveandknuckles.com. You can find podcast episodes there. You can find show recaps, really funny stuff about parenting and just like my weird parents. And you can read about my first marriage. Put in my first marriage in the search button and you will find all about what happened when I decided to get married at 23 years of age. Some people call it a starter marriage. I call it an awakening. So check that out. You can find me on Facebook. Just go to Love and Knuckles. And you can also find the closed Facebook group for this podcast, Reality Life with Kate Casey. Plug it in the search button. You'll find so many fun, cool people. I now have a Reddit page. You can go to r/realitylife. You can find me on Twitter at Kate Casey. I'm always on Twitter if you're looking for show suggestions. I'm always looking for guest suggestions. Write me on Twitter and also on Instagram at Kate Casey CA. Check my Instagram to see my Instagram stories about guests that I'm working on and the products that I'm trying out. So it's lots of fun stuff there. And most importantly, remember, you've got to go to iTunes and give me a 5-star review. And the good news is you've been listening to my request because I just hit over 1,000. So I promise you I will bring you more bonus episodes. So have a great week. And next week's episode, the next episode you will see in your queue, I sat down with Jennifer Schacht, now Jennifer Schacht Waterman, who was Andrew Firestone's choice for that season of The Bachelor, and then she went on to become The Bachelorette, and she gives a hilarious perspective on what it was like to be on that show well before it became the social media sensation that it is now. So it's a good, juicy interview. So check that out. Upon a beat.
Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me,
DJ Fuse,
and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the New Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat.